It's nice. I mean,
it's only 10
well, like Kupferman's is three volumes, but I you know, can't be my tree. I have to get people by three volumes. It's all one. Yeah, no. That's what I have at home also.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that and I have the...
But he's showing this one as the Barbara Curtis.
What's the three volume? You
know, this is where the Kupferman finance as well. It's put out. It's part of the earliest nice one. Okay. I owe you.
That's fine. Okay. I know where the rabbi lives.
That's
it's okay.
Right. Yeah. Break my kneecaps. I'll start here. Okay, so pleasure to welcome everybody. The Wednesday Parshas Lech Lecha to the first, what hopefully will be a series of Shiurim Be'ezus Hashem on the Meshech Chachma, one of the beautiful Chiburim, one of the beautiful Svarim written by Rav Meir Simcha Cohen of Divinsk. First of all, I just want to start by thanking the Isai Torah Center for providing a location and all the logistics that go into a shiur like this. And I just want to mention also for those who haven't taken advantage of it yet, we do have some Meshech Chachma's beautiful new editions, one-volume editions, Ksav Merubah, that are available for $10 a piece, and they're up here in the front for anyone who's interested. You know, before you start any sefer, it's worthwhile to know a little bit something about the Mechaber, about the author. So I just wanted to start off tonight a little bit of the biography of Rav Meir Simcha, an individual who lived not so long ago. He was born in 1843 and passed away in 1926. So we're talking about someone who was walking this earth less than 100 years ago. I had a chavrusa in yeshiva who himself had another chavrusa whose grandmother was from Divinsk. And she conveyed to her grandson, this Chavrusa's Chavrusa, her memories of Rav Meir Simcha. Rav Meir Simcha came to the town in Divinsk in 1848. Is that possible? 1848, he was born in 1843. One second. All right, that's a big Gedolim story, but that seems a little bit exaggerated. Yes, it's possible. Yeah, okay. We'll have to work on the dates over here and try to figure out the dates over here exactly. But he came to Divinsk towards the end of the 19th century, I think that's fair to say. And there were two kehillos in Divinsk. There was a kehillo of Prushim, the Snagdim, and a kehillo of Chasidim. Rav Meir Simcha was appointed to be the Rav of the kehillo of the Misnagdim, the Prushim. The Rav of the Chasidim was an equally well-known Rav, the Rav Gotshover Goyim of Yosef Rosen, who was known for his tremendous bekiyus b'chol ha'tara kula, you know, without really any exaggeration. But from those who knew them, apparently as personalities, they were day and night. The Rav Gotshover was sharp. You didn't start up with the Rav Gotshover. You know, the Rav Gotshover told it to you like it was, and he told it to you in five words. And, you know, you had to sit there and figure it out. Rav Meir Simcha, on the other hand, again, the Schavrusa told me that his grandmother remembered that, children used to feel comfortable going over to Rav Meir Simcha and just giving him shalom. He was that warm and friendly and individual and, you know, left that roshem on the people that he dealt with. Some interesting biographical facts. First of all, something that just speaks to me very, very personally. When Rav Meir Simcha was 17, he got married, His in-laws lived in a town in Poland known as Bialystok. And apparently Rav Meir Simcha spent that portion of his life between the time that he was married and the time that he was invited to serve as the Rav in Dvinsk. He was in Bialystok, learning in Bialystok. I didn't actually know that until I started going through the biography, but obviously that has a special personal resonance. Rav Meir Simcha also apparently was close during his tenure as Rav in Dvinsk to a younger Rav who was in the town of Boisk, not that far away, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Gary and I were talking about this on Friday. I discovered recently a sefer which I had lying around the house, the Sichot HaRi'iyah, different stories from Rav Cook, put together by one of his Talmidim, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, a big Talmud of Rav Cook in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Neria writes there in the sefer that as the young Boisker Rav, Rav Cook developed a close connection to Rav Meir Simcha. Rav Meir Simcha apparently was very fond of him. And one thing which I'll relate, which the Sefer relates about Rav Meir Simcha, which you know is worthwhile, we're going to see a little bit of this tonight, Rav Cook apparently at a later stage in life, after Rav Cook had already made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Meir Simcha had already passed away. Thank you very much. And Rav Meir Simcha had already passed away, Rav Cook made the following observation. Everybody knows, said Rav Cook, that Rav Meir Simcha was a goyin in Nigla. That he knew the revealed parts of Torah in an unbelievable fashion. But I knew him closely, said Rav Cook. And you should know that as big as he was in Nigla, that everybody saw, he was even greater in Nistar. He was even more well-versed in the Zohar HaKadosh, in Kabbalah, and in all of those mystical teachings that Yiddishkeit has to offer. And Rav Neria adds, this at the time was not apparent. In other words, people know Rav Meir Simcha as a person who was involved mostly in Shas and Poskim. And the other famous sefer which is associated with Rav Meir Simcha is a sefer which is better known as a yeshiva, the Or Sameach, the famous commentary of Rav Meir Simcha on the Rambam. And the chidushim that subsequently Rav Meir Simcha put together on Shas, Meir Simcha had Shailas at Shuvas, and most of the stuff that he was writing was Nigla, was things that had to do with the revealed Torah. It's only once the Sefer Meshech Chachma was published that you really began to see the greatness of Rav Meir Simcha in Nistar, in Kabbalah, in Zohar. And some of that we're going to try to see tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, as we do certain selections from Lech Lecha, where the Zohar flows freely in the various citations that Rav Meir Simcha uses to explain Chumash. If you understand Zohar properly, so then you can have proper understanding of Chumash, and as we'll see in certain cases, of the Gemara itself. Right? So it all, in somebody who's a Gaon of that magnitude, it all ultimately comes together. One of the things that Rav Meir Simcha was renowned for in his own lifetime was a tremendous love of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, in 1906, he was offered the rabbinate in Yerushalayim. And if you look actually, if you have the editions of the Meshech Chachma, which we purchased for tonight, in the very first page, right after the title page, you have a Mavo, an introduction, which has about a page or so of biography of Meir Simcha. At the very bottom, the very last paragraph, Bishnas Tofresh Samich Vav, in 1906, Hitzilos HaRabbonus B'Yerushalayim. They offered Rav Meir Simcha, the Rabbonus, the Rabbinate in Yerushalayim. What happened? Now, of course, as we're going to talk about in just a moment, given the fact that Rav Meir Simcha had this tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to see a lot of tonight, one of the major themes we're going to see in Lech Lecha, is his Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. So it stands to reason that he was probably anxious to go to Yerushalayim and follow through on this Rabbonus. Why didn't he go? The Baal HaBavli. But in a beautiful way. Not in the way one might think off the top of one's head. The Baal HaBavli, quote-unquote, messed it up for him. Why? Kosvu Anshei Dvinsk L'Kehilas Yerushalayim. The Dvinsker Baal HaBavli sent a letter to the Rabbonim in Yerushalayim, to the people in Yerushalayim, and they wrote, Anachnu Bnei HaGola Asher B'Rusya HaMedina Po B'Ir B'Dvinsk Kamnu V'Nisodei L'Kol HaShmua HaBo B'Yozneinu. We are incensed, we're up in arms, here in this country, Russia, in this little town of Dvinsk, about the thing that's come to our attention, Ki b'nei Yerushalayim kamu aleinu, that the people in Yerushalayim are making war with us. What are they making war with us? Lo kachas es adoneinu moreinu v'rabeinu me'al roshenu. A chutzpah. You're going to come and take our beloved Rav, the Dvinska Rav of Meir Simcha, and whisk him off to Yerushalayim? Lahachshich chas v'shalom aleinu. To darken, God forbid, our world, mibli lehenos me'or ha'ma'or, to not derive benefit from this light, Meir Simcha, right, the one who would light up the world. Lo lochem b'nei Yerushalayim asos kadavar hazeh. God forbid that you should do such a thing. Halo ki al avra ruchachem hoyo lo sihi, ha'ola ruchachem hoyo lo sihi, we promise you, we're going to make sure that Rav Meir Simcha doesn't leave Dvinsk. He's here, he's not going to Yerushalayim. Right? So on the one hand, obviously, it got in the way of his fulfilling this, you know, perhaps dream that he had of going to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, I'm sure it's much better than what they could have written back from Dvinsk to Yerushalayim. You want him, take him, we'll help you book the flight. Right? Because they held so much of the Dvinsk Rav, they weren't prepared to let him go to Yerushalayim. Rav Meir Simcha was also a very great proponent and encouraged the early movements in the early 20th century, the late part of the 19th century, that were committed to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. There's a famous letter, part of which with Aaron Shurin, who has two volumes of Keshet Giburim, beautiful little biographies of different more contemporary Gedolim. So he quotes from a famous letter that Rav Meir Simcha sent encouraging people to contribute to the Keren HaYesod, which was devoted to the building up of Eretz Yisrael. And he mentions there some of the, with great affection, with Moses Mantefiur and some of the Rabbanim who were involved in Chovev Eitz Zion, the movement at that time to try to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, with Zvi Hirsch Kalischer, with Eliyahu Gutmacher. And specifically he addresses one particular issue which is still resonating to this day in some way or another, the objection of some Rabbanim to the whole notion of going back to Eretz Yisrael and resettling Eretz Yisrael based on a Gemara in Ksuvos. Gemara in Ksuvos famously says that the Ribbono Shel Olam made the Jewish people take three oaths, and among the oaths was Shelo Ya'alu B'Chomah, that the Jewish people should not go up en masse to Eretz Yisrael until Moshiach comes. And of course, we know the Sadr ideology in particular, and interestingly enough, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch also stressed this Gemara in explaining why they were opposed, you know, to the movement, forget about making a state in Eretz Yisrael, but even just mass aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, they felt went against this Gemara in Ksuvos. So in the same letter, Rav Meir Simcha states very, very firmly that it's after the Balfour Declaration. If the non-Jews are willing to acknowledge our claim to Eretz Yisrael, just quote you, Me'achar v'hashkocha ovila kach, since the hashkocha has brought about shechaver ha'lo'umim b'moshavo, hikir she'eretz Yisrael shayeches la'yehudim. Once the representatives of the nations and the League of Nations have already, you know, recognized that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jews, mimeila ein malach shosh mishloshes hashvuos. We have nothing to worry about anymore in terms of this Gemara. Once the non-Jews have given the green light through the Balfour Declaration, we have every right on our own to be able to go up, and he encouraged tremendously the aliyah going up to Eretz Yisrael. I want to close with that point and use that as a segue into the actual text of the Meshech Chochma, because we're going to see tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, three selections from the Meshech Chochma on Lech Lecha, which deal with the incredible Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it stands to reason, this is the first Parsha of Eretz Yisrael, in a sense. Avraham Avinu was told to leave his homeland and go to Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to see three selections where Meir Simcha zeroes in on the special quality of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and the ability of Eretz Yisrael to enable people to reach spiritual heights which they are totally incapable of achieving in the Golos. Right? So the fact that he stresses this point over and over again, of course, stems from the Parsha, but, you know, reflects to a great extent his own Hashkochas HaChayim, where Eretz Yisrael and the love for Eretz Yisrael was very much a part of everything that he was about. I want to start on that theme with a Meshech Chochma, which is in this edition on page Yud Beis, it's about maybe a column or so into Parshas Lech Lecha, starts Dibur Amaskel Vayiven Shom Yisbeach Lashem Hanire Elov. Avram Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael and he built a Mizbeach to God, to Yudkei Vovkei, to Havaya, Hanire Elov, who had appeared to him. Right? Of course, on the surface, this is a pasuk which, doesn't necessarily elicit much comment offhand. Right? Avram Avinu has just come into Eretz Yisrael. And again, he Vayiben Shom Yisbeach Hashem Hanira Elov. He builds Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Alaylon Moreh Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz. Avram Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael. Vayero Hashem El Avram. Hashem appears to Avram. Vayomer Lazarach Etan Es Ha'aretz Hazos. He says, "I will give this land to your children." Vayiben Shom Yisbeach Hashem Hanira Elov. And he builds the Yisbeach to Hashem who appears to him. On the surface, nothing jumps out at you from the pasuk, but from this pasuk, Rav Meir Simcha builds a whole hashkafa, not just in terms of Eretz Yisrael, but in terms of man's ability to perceive God in general. Ha'inyan hu, al pi ma shekasuv mibesori echzeh eloka. The way to understand this pasuk is based on the pasuk in Iyov, "I see God from my flesh." What does it mean to be able to see God from my flesh? V'hu l'dayti. Let me explain. Ki ha'nefesh atzmo maskil ruchni masig amitas Hashem yisbarach mitziyuso u'moro u'chivoda. If it was somehow possible to isolate the neshama by itself, take the neshama out of the body, a neshama unattached to a body would have clear, unadulterated perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, that's what we believe happens after death. The neshama is separated from the body, and the neshama is able to spend eternity being able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu without all of the things that get in the way in our mortal existence. However, rak b'shvil shemalubash b'chomer gas, but because the neshama is covered over in this thick material known as the body, Masach mavdil chotzeitz beino le'aviv shebashamayim. There is, so to speak, a curtain that comes between us and our Father in heaven. The neshama's perception is flawed because of the fact that we have a body which gets in the way and stops the neshama from being able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, nochutz lanu ha-Torah, so therefore we need Torah so badly, shehi kli ha-machzeh. Torah is the instrument which allows us to see, which he puts in parentheses, is a microscope. Right? It is the microscope. The lens, whatever, what have you. Torah is that which allows us to see through the chomrius, the physicality which blocks the view of the neshama from being able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that enables us with Zakech, Chomer lahaser malgushav hatsoim ad giyashuv kmotam givaldo. And if you learn Torah properly, Torah can take away the chomer hagas. It can take away that material substance, the body, which comes between the neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, if a person learns Torah to the fullest extent, the neshama should be able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if the body wasn't getting in the way. Okay, so far this is an idea. Right, but Rav Meir Simcha is not content to just leave it an idea. You ground it in Chazal. V'zeh maimorim zal mishecharav beis hamikdash mechitzo shel barzo mamsekes ben Yisrael aviyam shebashamayim. That's what Chazal mean when they say that since the Churban, there's always been an iron curtain, so to speak, a mechitzo shel barzo, which separates us from our Father in heaven. What does that mean? So he explains as follows: that kavana. The mechitza that we're speaking about is essentially the mechitza of physicality, right? So what does that have to do with the Churban Habayis? Well, during the time the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Beis HaMikdash served much the role that Torah plays today. The Beis HaMikdash was an instrument, the microscope, so to speak, of which he speaks. The Beis HaMikdash was an instrument which allowed a human being to overcome the the curtain of physicality, to be able to see through that, and to allow the neshama to have a clearer view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the role of the Beis HaMikdash. In the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, as we said on Yom Kippur, Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. The only thing we have after the Churban HaBayis is Torah. Torah can accomplish that, but it's that much harder. In other words, we only have one microscope nowadays, whereas in the time of the Mikdash, we had the Mikdash and Torah, and both of these served as magnifying lenses or whatnot, right? That's what Chazal mean, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Mechitza Shal Barzal Mavsekes Ben Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim. Okay. The imkain hanire kizeb yicholas achomer lizdakei harasher lo mafsik ben zohar eshnabei haruchni levlila chasos baaskolosel. One would think that one would be able to purify the physical blockage in such a way so that the neshama should be able to see as if the physical blocking was not there. But certainly it doesn't make sense, says Rav Meir Simcha, that the neshama should ever be able to see more than it would be able to see without the guf blocking. In other words, the maximum that a person could strive for would be to get the neshama to the level where it could see whatever it could see without the guf. But to be able to exceed that level of divine perception, that doesn't make sense that should be possible. I mean, if a person has 20/20 vision and there's something blocking him, so you remove the thing that's blocking him, okay, so now he has 20/20 vision, he can see well. He's not going to be able to see better than what his natural sight allows him to be able to see. L'chein omar ki l'chein. But our pasuk is going to tell us that that's not true. There are certain circumstances where a human being can see even more than the neshama would have been able to see on its own. Ki kasher yesh kli habata, kli hamachze, asher yagdilu chush horeos elef pa'amim kifi hayosa. There's the possibility of something out there, a lens, which is not just something which enables you to see at 20/20 vision, but you have a magnifying glass, like you spoke about before, the microscope, something which gives you even better vision than what you have naturally. Kenyish b'koach ha'sholem ha'eloki l'zakei chesachomer ad ki yoshuv l'machze melutosho v'hiro magdeles einei ha'nefesh elef pa'omim l'ein mispar shetire maros elokim. So too, if a person achieves a certain level, his physicality itself can be purified to a point where the physicality not only is not getting in the way of his spiritual perception, but it even magnifies and increases his spiritual perception, so he can see things that much greater. V'zeh mibisori min habasar hu achomer hagas echezeh kimo al yidei machzeh magdeles eloki. Right? That's the pasuk in Iyov. Mibisori echzeh eloka. Right? From my flesh I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My flesh becomes the magnifying glass. There are certain cases where the neshama not only can see normally, but the neshama can perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu even better by virtue of a person who's perfected himself so much. Not only does the physical body not become an obstruction to his perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it even is an aid to his perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, helps him see better. Mibisori, because of my flesh, Echza Eloka, I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? V'lochein omar Echazer v'lo Ereh. And that's what Iyov means when he sees Echazer as opposed to Ereh. Ereh means to see. Echazer means to gaze, to be able to see from far off, to be able to envision. It implies a heightened degree of being able to perceive. And that's what Iyov means. By the way, you notice over here, just by way of comparison, some of the other shiurim, like Mishlei Sunday morning and the Shabbos Yom Yoshir, we spend a lot of time with the works of the Malbim on Tanakh. And the Malbim, of course, is more or less a contemporary, slightly older contemporary, of the Meshech Chachma. The style that the Meshech Chachma has just used is very reminiscent of the Malbim. In fact, if you look at the Meshech Chachma actually writes in Parshas Kisetze in Devarim, that from here on in, I'm going to explain things according to the Mahalach of HaTorah V'HaMitzvah. The Torah V'HaMitzvah was the Malbim's commentary on Chumash. Right? So he was apparently very familiar with the Malbim, not so astounding. Right? Again, there were near contemporaries. The Malbim was slightly older. Malbim lived at the beginning of the 19th century. The Meshech Chacham was more towards the end of the 19th century. But this approach of carefully weighing the slight differences between synonyms in the Hebrew language is very along the lines of the Malbim. And the Malbim, if you know any commentary the Malbim has on Tanakh, everything is, well, these two words are very similar, but if you look closely, they're slightly different from one another, and appreciating the nuance, the difference, helps you understand a pasuk in a totally different way. Over here as well, Mibisari Echese Eloka. Based on my flesh, I'm able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to perceive in an even greater way. And, you know, the word Echezeh is in contrast to the word Ereh, which often we might have just thought are just synonymous. No, there's a subtle difference between the two. V'hu bir v'rayon yakar. This is a nice idea. Okay, good. V'zeh nimsa ki dvar Elokim shomanu gam l'nochosh gam l'dog u'misyachis l'kol Elokim hu hasogas chefetz Hashem uritzono v'nimsa zeh ha-shomea bifrat ach re'os kivod Elokim lo motzonu b'nivroim ha-pchusim. If you take a look at the different ways that Tanakh describes how God's word is conveyed to man, so you hear a lot about hearing the voice of God, listening in the voice of God, right? To hear the voice of God, says the Meshech Chochma, is something that even an animal, a nachash, a dog, you know, a fish, a snake, is able to appreciate. Why? Because to hear the voice of God just means to be aware of what God wants us to do and to follow suit, to act in accordance with that. However, to see, not even to see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki lo yirani ha'odom v'choy, but ra'os kivod Elokim, to use the term, anything having to do with seeing in conjunction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he writes, lo motzanu b'nivroim ha'pchusim. You'll never find that lashon used in regard to lower forms of life. The Adam HaRishon, now taking these ideas, he now goes into human history. Adam HaRishon kodem achet hayachom ezachu bohir v'dak, asher lo chatzatz me'umo beino l'marei kvod Hashem. When Adam HaRishon was created, he was obviously God's direct creation, Yitzir Kafov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even his physicality was so spiritual. It was made of a chomer zach u'bohir v'dak, such a fine quality physical exterior, that, so to speak, there were no chatzitzos, there were no interruptions, there was nothing blocking between him and the immediate perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lochein holach orum. That's why Adam HaRishon didn't wear clothes until the chet. Ki amaskil aruchni bal yitzarech l'chassos b'sar ha'erva. Because erva, the nakedness of a person, only becomes naked when a person has physical desires, and he sees them. He sees the nakedness of himself as reflecting somehow something less than spiritual. If a person is totally spiritual, so then again, in the very striking lashon of the Meshech Chochma, the makom ha'erva might as well be the makom ha'tfilin. Adam HaRishon didn't perceive any difference between his nakedness, you know, his procreative organs, and the place where he put his tefillin. Everything was part of this body, which is Mibisari Echze Eloka, which enabled him to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more close-up fashion. Kilo Hoysalo Shum Taiva V'Inyan Ra. There was no, you know, he didn't desire anything that was prohibited. Ah! Kasher ochal me'etz hadas nishapich l'chomer gas muvdo mi'amitas hasagoso v'skarvus Elokim. After he ate from the etz hadas, that's when his body became something more physical, and something which theoretically, and not just theoretically, but in actuality, got between himself and his true perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chumro chotzatz v'kol chasroi molidim ha'taiva v'nekima v'akas nekima dimyonos v'kosvim. And all of a sudden, his body, which changed into something physical, gave birth to all different types of emotions and desires which were of a baser nature and which, you know, threatened to lead him astray and to lead him in the direction of increased physicality. And here too, again, we go back to Chazal. V'zeh kavona shnia b'maimorim zal kuf lamid shana hayomolid ruchos v'shevim. Very, very, you know, interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara says that basically after the Chet, Adam HaRishon separated from Chava for 130 years. We spoke in Shul Drosh a couple of Shabbosim ago about his reaction to Chava after the Chet. The Gemara in Erevin says one of the reactions he had, they separated for 130 years. And as we may be familiar with, there are all these strange Midrashim about how he took up with these demons, Liliths and the like, and he was giving birth to Shadim and Ruchos and all these sort of things. So you read that at first glance in Chazal, you say, okay, what's going on over here? Adam HaRishon giving birth to demons and spirits and things like that sounds very bizarre. Says the Meshech Chachma, no, you know what it means? It means that Adam HaRishon underwent a transformation of his very flesh. Whereas his flesh before had been an instrument, his physicality had been an instrument to help him see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even better. The same way that he could use his head to put on tefillin, let's say, he could use his procreative organs to do the Ratzon Hashem, and he saw no difference. He didn't associate anything different between the various parts of his body. His whole body was a kli, was an instrument to bring about Kvod Shamayim in this world. When he sinned, the body changed. And the body gave birth to all kinds of demons. What kind of demons? You know, little guys with pitchforks going around, you know, with horns and tails? No. You know what the demons he gave birth to are? The demon of chaos. The demon of anger. The demon of wanting to do better than the other guy down the block. The demon of desiring money. The demon of desiring fame and power and glory. Those are all demons. When Adam HaRishon underwent this metamorphosis after the Chet, those demons all of a sudden were things that were coming out of him, things that he had never had before, things that he was now just giving birth to. The Meshech Chachma understands this Gemara in a metaphoric sense to describe the metamorphosis that Adam HaRishon was undergoing. Okay, Lochein Yadu. It was after the Chet, therefore, that Adam and Chava realized Ki Arumim Heim Vayisko Shoshu. They realized that they were naked and they were embarrassed. Ki ata hoisa hamakom lebasar erva. Because now, of course, you know, the nakedness of their body was something which they perceived as being associated more with their taivos as opposed to being a kli for fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. And here comes the pasuk, which now all of a sudden makes sense in a totally new light. Right? Lochein ksiv vayishmeu es kol Hashem Elokim. Right after the chet, what happens? They eat, okay, say bracha achrona, whatever they say. Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim es halich bagon l'ruach hayom. Right? They hear the sound of Hashem traveling through the garden in the heat of the day. And Adam and Chava get nervous, and then they go hide. So when you read the pasuk without much interpretation, you say, okay, this just sounds very strange, right? Oh, better hide, Hashem's coming. Vayishmael Hashem, okay, you know, he's 10 paces away. Let's go and run behind the tree. What did you think you were going to accomplish? You're going to hide from the Ribbono Shel Olam? So says the Meshech Chachma, you know what the Pasuk means? You know why they got so embarrassed? Shomu kolo velo ro'u kvod Hashem. Before the Chet, they saw God. After the Chet, they heard God. In other words, before the Chet, they would have, so to speak, seen God coming. Right? Now, obviously, that's not totally literal, because again, but whatever perception they had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Chet, they realized right away had been downgraded. Before, they had a perception of Re'iyah, of being able to see. And now, the perception was knocked down to Shmiyah. They were simply able to hear. And when they realized that they had undergone that metamorphosis, they were terrified because they understood now all of a sudden what had happened. They weren't hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, he won't find us. Right? They were hiding out of embarrassment because they perceived that, you know, the things had totally changed. And that's Vayikra Hashem Ayeka. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to him, where are you? Where are you holding? Right? You used to be able to see me. Now you can just hear me. What happened? What's the answer? Vayomer, Adam HaRishon says, Eskolcha Shomati Bagon, if you remember the pasuk, I heard your voice in the garden. Va'ira ki eiro manochi va'eichave. And I was so afraid because I was naked, and I ran and hid. So what does the pasuk mean? Shomati v'lo ro'isi kivotcha. Right? I saw that my perception of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was only a perception of Shmiya, not of Re'iyah. I could only hear you, I couldn't see you. Va'ira ki eirom anochi? And then I was afraid because I realized that I'm naked. What's eirom? Haynu shechomri chotzeitzu mafsik beini l'cha avisha v'ashomayim. I realized that I'm naked because all of a sudden, there's something. Nakedness in this context means that the body is there and the body's in the way. Before, my body wasn't in the way. Okay. Now I realize that I've gone down the madrega. I've gone down a step, if not many steps. And now all of a sudden, there's this thing that gets in the way between me and you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's Adam HaRishon. Very fascinating interpretation. A couple of chazals and psukim explained along the way. How does this come back to Avraham Avinu building a Mizbeach? That's where we started off. V'hinei, ki oz, min oz, lo motzonu rak vayomer Hashem. So if you look, starting from the chait of Adam HaRishon, whenever God communicates to mankind, be it by Adam, be it by Cain, be it by Noach, the introduction to God's communication is always through the words, vayomer Hashem, Hashem said. We never find, since the chait, the usage of Vayera Hashem. Hashem appeared. Because what does Vayera Hashem mean? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was perceived through Re'iyah. And that went out with Adam HaRishon. After the chait, the ability to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Re'iyah was gone. Now God can communicate. Vayomer Hashem, if I say something, so you on the receiving end are able to be Shomeya, to hear. But you don't. You know, it's only by Har Sinai that Roim es Hakolos, that Klal Yisrael were able to see the utterances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Normally, when someone says something, you hear it. So, from the time of the Chait until Avraham Avinu, God was heard. God was never seen. Rak Yishabo Avraham le'eretz Yisrael, oz hizdakech chomro, ad kishav ke'odom kodem hachet. The first time that we find Vayera Hashem is here in Parshas Lech Lecha. When Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael. The very coming of Avraham Avinu to Eretz Yisrael restores Avraham Avinu to the status of Adam HaRishon Kodem the Chet, before the Chet. V'zehu Vayera Hashem el Avraham, el Avraham Vayomer. Right, Hainu Shemitchilo Ro'oso. Before God communicated to Avraham Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, first Vayera, he appeared to Avraham Avinu. Right, which means the perception which had been lost in the world since Adam HaRishon somehow returned. Hainu Shiroso called him Ho'amiro. I'm sorry. Shivzek Havanas Apostle Po, Vayiven Shom Mizbeach Lashem Anira Elov. Hainu shiro so kodem ho'amirish lochotzat sachomer me'umo. That's why he builds the Mizbeach. Because he builds the Mizbeach because he realizes something incredible has happened here. It's not just I came to Eretz Yisrael and, you know, great shawarma, nice motel, you know, swimming pool, wow, very nice, okay. You know, lovely egg and buses, right? It wasn't just that he, you know, appreciated things that he wanted to build the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach celebrated the return of Avraham Avinu to the status of Adam HaRishon Kodem Achet, as symbolized by the ability to now be Roeh Hashem, to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this heightened sense of perception. V'chein kavonas ha-posuk vo'eiro el Avraham Yitzchok v'Yaakov. Parshas vo'eiro, right? Aptly named. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, And he says, you should know, Vo'ero el Avram Yitzchok v'Yaakov v'kel shakoy, u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. True, I never really revealed my name, Yudke Vovke, to the Avos. But you know what? Don't make light of the Avos over here. The Avos were zocha to Vo'ero, to being able to be to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a madrega similar to that of Adam HaRishon. You will find by each of the others, says the Meshech Chochmah, the phrase "Vayeroi lo Hashem," Hashem appeared to him, something which does not appear by Noach, by Cain, by any of the lesser, relatively speaking, personalities that we find throughout Tanakh. The ability to be the subject of Vayera, Vaera, etc., etc., Lashem Hanira Elov, that was something that was miyuchot, that was something that was very, very special and unique to the Avos HaKadoshim and to other Marishim Kodem Acheid. Right? So there's a lot over here, a lot of different chazals and psukim that fall into place. One theme which comes out is the Chipas Eretz Yisrael of the Meshech Chochmah. I mean, if you wanted to put something on a banner about a Havetz Eretz Yisrael, you want to make a bumper sticker, Eretz Yisrael, the place where you can return to the status of Adam HaRishon, it's quite a statement about what merely entering into Eretz Yisrael can do to somebody like Avraham Avinu. Now again, a couple of caveats. It doesn't mean that everybody who gets off the El Al plane, all of a sudden, Vayera Elav Hashem, oh, you walked into Eretz Yisrael. So now you achieve the Re'i of Adam Kodem Acheid, right? But for somebody like Avraham Avinu, who is already well on his way to being able to achieve that, the very entrance into Eretz Yisrael, I mean, nothing has happened really in the parasha yet, right? He came into Eretz Yisrael, and boom, Vayera Elav Hashem, the very entry into Eretz Yisrael itself is enough to catapult an already developed religious figure like Avraham Avinu to the pinnacle of an Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet. Right, Ad Heichan Advar Magiyim, that is the milah, the tremendous level that Eretz Yisrael has. Right, let's take another piece, a shorter one. Right, let's take another piece in the Meshech Chochmah and Lech Lecha, which also beautiful pshat in the pasuk, which you wouldn't have thought of. I wouldn't have thought of before saying the Meshech Chochmah, and this Meshech Chochmah is also indicative of what we quoted before from Rav Kook. That, you think that Rav Meir Simcha was a gadol in Nigla, you should know he was an unbelievable gadol in Nista. And if you look on the facing page on Yud Gimel, in the right-hand column, Vashem Omar El Avram, Sono Inecho Re'e Min Amokom Asher At Hashom, Sofono Vonegba V'chulei, V'yom, Sofono Vonegba, V'keitma v'yama, I don't know why he skips the word V'keitma, ki es kol ha'aretz. It's Perek Yud Gimel. We pass it in its entirety. Right, Lot and Avraham Avinu just come back from Mitzrayim. Lot heads off to Stone to build what he thinks is going to be a wonderful life over there. Okay, didn't exactly work out that way. But Vashem, it's Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yudalit. Vashem Omar El Avram Acharei Parid Lot Meimo. After Lot leaves Avram Avinu, Hashem says to Avram, Sono Inecho Re'e, lift up your eyes and see. Min Amokom Asher At Hashom, from the place where you are. Sofono Vonegbo Vokedmo Vayoma. Right? North and south and east and west, right? And the pasuk then continues, "Ki es kol ha'aretz asher atah ro'eh lecha etnenu lozarecha ad olam." Everything that you can see, it's all going to be yours. It's going to belong to your children, forevermore. Right? So pasuk pshat in the pasuk is Avraham Avinu, take a good look, spin around 360 degrees. It's all yours. Right? The lashon, though, if you think about it, the language in the pasuk is a little awkward. Sono einecho ure'e min hamokom asher atosham. What do you mean, min hamokom asher atosham? Lift up your eyes and see from the place where you are. So first of all, that whole phrase is a little strange. Where else should he look up his eyes from? Right? Go over there, and then from the place where you're not, you should lift up your eyes and see. It's a very The phrase seems a little tortured and doesn't readily seem to add anything into the pasuk. And l'chora, if you are going to have that phrase in the pasuk, the way to express the pasuk would be sa na einecha min hamakom asher ata sham ure'eh. Lift up your eyes from where you are and take a look. Right? Sa na einecha ure'eh kama min hamakom asher ata sham. Just the syntax is a little awkward. Okay, you know, so we read over the pasuk. We're not so bothered by the syntax, but you know, again, for hundreds of years, I don't know if anyone ever commented on this. Comes from Meir Simcha, he comments. What's his comment? So he says, "Al derech hadrosh mitochin ki omar lo ki min ha'aretz hakadosha nivru kol givulos ha'aretz." Avraham Avinu was being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that Eretz Yisrael was the seed from which the whole rest of the world was created. Called Issa B'Yumanu Dalet, V'zem Merkaz Ha'olam. You should know that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. And God is telling Avraham Avinu, I'm not just giving you this land. Yeah, you can take this land, you can take Uganda, you can take, you know, no. There's something special about this land. I'm giving you a land which is the Merkaz Ha'olam, which is the center of the world. The universe itself was created spreading out from the seed of Eretz Yisrael in the middle. How do we see that? So he says, first of all, V'chein Issa B'Zara HaKadosh. Everybody knows it says in the Zara HaKadosh. When Avraham Avinu came, or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the point which was the middle of the Yishuv of the entire world, the Tokyo Biyoda, the Hokama Gamehina Kudam Tsulisa the Yeshuva Mine Ishto Kuliyama Lachos Sitroi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that from that midpoint of the world, everything else was going to spread out. You should know that any force which you have here is going to be able to overcome any force in the rest of the world. Says the Meshach Chacha. You know what Pshat in the Pasuk is? He doesn't mean Kimin Hamokom Asher Sana Inecha. You know, lift up your eyes from here and look around and see north, south, east, and west. The way to read the pasuk is as follows. Lift up your eyes and see. Kama. I want you to appreciate the fact, the following fact. Min hamakom asher atosham, safona vonegba vakeinba vayama. The place where you are is the place from which north, south, east, west, and the whole rest of the world was created. I'm giving you a special place. Min amokom asher atasham nivrehut safona vanegba vakeinma vayama. And then the Ribbon Shalom goes on to say, ki es kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh lecha et nena. Everything which you see, I'm giving to you. This special place, which is the epicenter of the world itself. Right? Again, so here you just have an example. This pshat is ultimately based on this passage from the Zohar, right? So Rav Meir Simcha pulls out the Zohar, and all of a sudden we have pshat and posuk, which, you know, again, I don't know if anyone before Rav Meir Simcha commented on that. One last Eretz Yisrael piece. Again, just to tie this together. Eretz Yisrael is a place where you can go back, in theory, to the level of Adam HaRishon. And Eretz Yisrael is the place from which the entire world was created. Just flip over to the, on that same page, the left-hand column, right? And on that same pasuk, Sana inecho re'eh, l'cho et neno l'zarecho. Lift up your eyes and see, right? Ho'inyan she'eretz Yisrael mikudeshes mikol ho'aros. This is the top of the column. You should know, of course, that Eretz Yisrael is sanctified from all lands. And it has a special providence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Af B'Shah, she tachas Yad Zorim, l'chozos l'bot l'kedushasa. Even when Eretz Yisrael is in the hands of non-Jews, the Kedusha is still there. V'chein hoya b'mei Avram. Take, for example, the days of Avram Avinu. Shashem nosan lo eskola oretz. Av sheknami hoya ozba oretz. V'avur kivras eretz nosan dalud meo shekel. B'chozos hoysa oretz nesuno eilov. Hainu shahoysa kedushas Hashem shor ala oretz. Even though the Knatanim were in the land, and Avraham Avinu was forced to pay the 400 zuzim to buy a little plot of land in Hebron, and by the way, and they still give us tzaris, you know, hundreds of years later, you know, for that purchase, right? But nonetheless, with all of that, Eretz Yisrael was under the rule of non-Jews who wouldn't even allow Avraham Avinu access to his own land. Nonetheless, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was there in full force at that particular time. Right, we're going to see again in the parsha that we know Avraham Avinu, Avraham lo yolda lo, Sarah had not given birth, right, and it was she was 10 years that she had not given birth. So Avraham Avinu decides to take Hagar to try to have a child from her. And Rashi over there comes, Chazal comment, right, that although under normal circumstances, if a couple is married for 10 years without children, then they can start thinking about other options. With Avraham Avinu and Sarah, the 10 years restarted once Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Sometimes we don't count all the years they were married beforehand. The 10 years start again over in Eretz Yisrael. Now, says Meir Simcha, that obviously must point to the fact that Eretz Yisrael had a special quality which had halachic implications, even in the days of Avraham Avinu, because otherwise, you know, you would just say, okay, Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful land, it's a special land, it's a nice land, you know, but why should that have implications with regard to a halacha of the ability of Avraham and Sarah to consider other options after 10 years of marriage, that the 10 years should start over again when they come to Eretz Yisrael? V'lachein omer, afal pi shelamato ba'aris, ein cha roem me'uma, b'men esun alach, ki aknani adayin kosher bo ki kelef, v'yonek shodeha, b'chol zos sona einecho lemalo, l'sponein al ruchmius ha'ashkoch of anhoga, u're'e ki kol ha'aris l'cho et nena. Shigam l'cho inesuna v'niskadra b'dusha shivu'il l'cho l'vonecha, v'ayin ma'ashkosu b'zor ha'kodesh v'hovein. The focus of the Meshech Chochma in this brief paragraph, before he was talking about min ha'mokom asher atosham, now he actually goes back. It's interesting to note, I don't know why they're printed, why the, you know, the paragraphs are printed in this format, because really his comment over here is on the first half of the pasuk. Sana inecho re'e, lift up your eyes and see. It's a funny, if you think about it, it's a funny kind of term. Lift up your eyes and see. You know, lift up your eyes and see, you're not going to see much of Eretz Yisrael. You'll see a lot of clouds. Right? Okay, so the Pashat of Pshat is Avraham Avinu is standing on this mountaintop, and Sana inecho re'e means look out. Doesn't mean look up, but that isn't really what Sana inecho re'e means. It doesn't mean look out. It does mean look up, right? So says the Meshech Chochma, yeah, that's exactly what it does mean. It means look up. Because if you look down at Eretz Yisrael the way it looks, Eretz Yisrael is inhabited by a bunch of Knanim, and you're thinking to yourself, what's this got to do with me? This is a holy land. These guys are running around doing all kinds of toevos. And this is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to me? What sense does this make? Does this make exactly? Sana inecho re'e. Lift your eyes up. In other words, don't look at the actual physical Eretz Yisrael. Realize, look at the ruchnius. Concentrate on the ruchnius. You know, you're not counting the blades of grass. Look up and consider the ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael. The kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is there, regardless of who happens to be in control. This is a beautiful hashkafic vort, especially, you know, and it tie it in to Rav Meir Simcha's own outlook on life, on the resettlement of Eretz Yisrael, regardless of who happens to be running Eretz Yisrael in the late 19th, early 20th century. And we may find a little bit of an echo of that in these particular comments. But there's also a very specific halachic issue which can be tied to this as well. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita relates in one of his svarim that once a visiting Rosh Hashiva from Eretz Yisrael, I think it was Rav Gorin, Zechar Tzadik Levracha, who came to YU and presented a shir about the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And in the course of his remarks, he made it clear that he was of the following position. You know, there's a whole discussion, halacha, about where the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael comes from. Kedusha Rishona, that was instilled by Yehoshua when he conquered Eretz Yisrael, or Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha which was instilled by Ezra when the Jews came back from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, resettled it, and, you know, reinstilled it with Kedusha. Which Kedusha worked, which Kedusha was lasting. So we generally assume in Halacha that Kedusha Rishona Kidusha Mashaito Velo Kidusha Lasid Lava, the Kedusha of Yehoshua only lasted through the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Kedusha of Ezra was eternal. Right? Kedusha Shnia Kidusha Lashaito Kidusha Lasid Lava. That lasted forever. The Rambam paskins this way. The Rambam makes a famous formulation in the sixth parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where the Rambam writes that whereas the Kedusha of Yehoshua was instilled by kibush, by conquest, and therefore when the Babylonians conquered it from us, so the Kedusha left, the Kedusha of Ezra was instilled by settlement, by chazaka, and as long as the settlement was there, I mean the settlement of Jews in Eretz Yisrael has been unbroken since the time of Ezra, so that's eternal and that lasts to this day. So what was the status of Eretz Yisrael between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the resettlement of Eretz Yisrael by Ezra? So the truth is, you read the Rambam, and l'chaira you come to the conclusion that Eretz Yisrael had no Kedusha during those 70 years, right? Kedusha Rishona was only in existence up until the Churban HaBayis. Kedusha Shnia started 70 years later, with the, or even a little less than 70 years later, 52 years later, with the resettlement by Ezra. And during that interim period, there was no Kedusha. Right? And apparently, the visiting Rosh Hashiva from Eretz Yisrael, said as much in this shir. Okay, so during that period of time, Eretz Yisrael did not have Kedusha. The next day, the Rav apparently came into shir, and uncharacteristically, ripped apart the previous day's shir by the visiting Rosh Hashiva. How can it be that Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha? What are you talking about? Of course, but then what do you do with the Rambam? I mean, the Rambam says the Kedusha Rishona only lasted up until the Churban HaBayis. The Kedusha Shnia only started with the resettlement of Ezra. What about all these years in the middle? So the Rav said, there's another category. True, Eretz Yisrael may not have had Kedusha with regard to Trumas u'Maisrus. It may not have had the Kedusha with regard to specific halachas of Eretz Yisrael. But there's a notion of Eretz Yisrael being the Eretz HaNevcheres, being the land that was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and having special properties. That is actually not halachically connected to whether, technically speaking, it has Kedusha. Right? Because the Eretz HaNevcheres, the notion of Eretz Yisrael being a special land, is what characterizes the fact that it was given to Avraham Avinu. Right? That idea, although it's not expressed in exactly the same lashon, that may be the idea that the Meshech Chochmah is saying over here. What do you mean? Again, if Meshech Chochmah is highlighting the fact that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha already at the time of Avraham Avinu, even while the Knanim are running around Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean it has? I mean, if you're really a strict constructionalist, a real halachist, you'll come back to Rav Meir Simcha and say, I'm b'mchilas hakavod. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael stems from Yehoshua. So what are you telling me that it has Kedusha by the time of Avraham Avinu? It's a very nice hashkafic idea, but what does that really mean? So, I think what it means is this idea that the Rav called the Eretz HaNivcheres, that there is a status that Eretz Yisrael has independent of the specific Kedusha, L'inyan Trumas U'Maisrus. Eretz Yisrael had that Kedusha during the interim years between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Binyan Bayis Sheni. And Eretz Yisrael had that Kedusha already during the period of Avos. So you say, that's a very nice idea, okay. Eretz HaNevcheres, what does that mean practically? So you see what it means practically. I mean, he gives one halachic example over here, that the clock of the 10 years of after which a couple who are childless can, consider other options, that clock starts again when Avram and Sarah come to Eretz Yisrael, even back then, because already back then, Eretz Yisrael has the status as Eretz HaNevcheres, and that has halachic implications. These three pieces, again, as we said before, talk about or focus on the special quality that Eretz Yisrael has. Again, as we've seen, Eretz Yisrael can restore you to Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. Eretz Yisrael is the place from which the entire world expands. And Eretz Yisrael has these special skulos that exist, regardless of who happens to be there. And those skulos have halachic implications as well. What I wanted to do in the next couple of minutes, those three pieces come together as a kind of piece, I want to take two halachic examples from Rav Meir's Simcha and show how he has a very unique way to put halacha together in together with psukim in a very, very fascinating fashion. Okay, so to do that, I want to take one, and if we have time, maybe two pieces that relate to the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which of course is the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. So if you turn to page Tes Zayin, the Dibra Maschil is the last one on the page on the bottom left. Ve'yei Samim, right, in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph. In Chumash, Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Seisha Shana, Avram Avinu is 99 years old. Vayera Hashem al Avram, there's that term again. God appears to Avram. Vayomer Elov Anikel Shakayim, Hisalech Lifonai Vayei Samim. Walk before me and be perfect. Right? Says Rashi, quotes the Meshech Chochmo, B'mitzvah Smila. What does it mean, and be perfect? It means, with regard to the mitzvah of Mila, because as long as you're walking around with an orla, with a foreskin, so I consider you to be a baal mum, I consider you to be someone who is physically blemished. You want to be perfect, it's kind of ironic, you want to be perfect, cut off the foreskin, cut off the orla, so that you can leave your status that you had as a baal mum and become perfect. So when you and I read this Rashi, which we probably read this Rashi before, we don't think that this is a Rashi with halachic implications, right? Meaning, you know, Baal Mum means bad. Avram Avinu, before he takes off the Arla, is not as good as he could be, right? So it's a bad thing to have an Arla if you have a mitzvah of Bris Milah. So now with the mitzvah of Bris Milah, take it off and then you'll be good, right? I think that's how most of us read the Rashi. Says Meshech Chochma, no, you don't know how to read a Rashi. Well, if he's a loman, we say, the kemo de baal mum mechalil avoda, came orel baal mum havi, u mechalil avoda. We know that a kohen who's a baal mum is not allowed to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. If a kohen's blemished in some way, it's a whole parsha's emor. If the kohen is blemished in some way, it's some kind of physical imperfection, so he's not allowed to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. The Mishnah Zvachim writes that a Kohen who's an Orel, who's uncircumcised, is also not allowed to do Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? So if you look in the Gemara in Tzvachim, the Gemara in Tzvachim quotes Rav Chisda, Meshech Chochma is going to quote it in a minute. Rav Chisda says, Dover zeh mitaras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. There is no pasuk in Chumash that teaches us that a Kohen who's an Orel, who's uncircumcised, can't do Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. It just doesn't say it anywhere. There's a whole parsha in Amor, it lists all of the physical imperfections that would prevent the Kohen from doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Umal, V'chosus, Menosuk, V'chorus, you know, the whole list over there, right, all the things that make him unfit to do Avodah, but it doesn't say anywhere black and white in Chumash that an Orel, that a Kohen who doesn't have a Bris Milah, can't do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. You know where we know it from, says Rav Chisda to the Gemara in Tzvachim? It's a pasuk in Yechezkel. Call Arel Lev, in other words, anyone who's uncircumcised is considered a Nechor, he's considered foreign, and he gives a whole taich in the Pasuk in Yechezkel over there, which he says indicates, you know, if you read the Pasuk in Yechezkel properly, it tells you that an Arel is not allowed to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rameir Simcha, wait a minute, you don't have to go to Yechezkel, it is the Pasuk in Chumash. His halich lefonai v'yei samim. The Rabbi Shalom says to Avraham Avinu, you have to be perfect. What does it mean you have to be perfect? You have to get a Bris Milah. If you don't have a Bris Milah, you're a Baal Mum. Oh, so an Orel is a Baal Mum. If an Orel is a Baal Mum, if the Pasuk in Chumash tells us that an Orel is a Baal Mum, the same way a Baal Mum was a Kohen, can't do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, we know from this Pasuk that an Orel can't do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Unbelievable. Meshech Chochma just made his own drasha. Right? So of course now you have the problem. Okay, but the Gemara Tzvachim didn't make that drasha. So it's very, and in fact the Gemara Tzvachim says very emphatically, Dover zeh mitaras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. It's nowhere in Chumash. So, b'mchilas kvod, the Meshech Chochma, Rav Chisda didn't see it in Chumash. Do you think you do see it in Chumash? So comes the Meshech Chochma and says that, if you look three lines from the bottom, Rav Chisda Omer Tzvachim, Chof Beis, Dover zeh mitaras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. What Chisda interpret has to come onto the pasuk in Yechezkel because he has an alternate interpretation of what Ve'yesamim means. Rav Chisda didn't hold like Rashi. Right? Rashi is quoting one strain in Chazal that equates a Baal Mum with an Orel, right? But really, there's another interpretation in Shas itself that gives a different definition to do Ve'yesamim. Ve'yesamim means that don't rely on astrology, just rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once you interpret the pasuk like that, so then I don't have a source in Chumash, I have to come onto Yechezkel. But if I interpreted this, if Rav Chisda had only interpreted this pasuk like Rashi, so then you wouldn't have to quote Yechezkel, you can use this pasuk. So in other words, Meshech Chacham is finding new drushes in Chumash that have halachic implications. And by the way, with this we'll finish, it's not only a question of where you learn this halacha out from. Is a Kohen who's an Oril allowed to do a vota by a Bama? Right? A Bama means before the Beis HaMikdash was set up in Yerushalayim, there was a heter to have private altars. You could have a backyard altar. I mean, you could have, I think there's a little ground here, right, in the back of the East Side Torah Center. You know, theoretically, if the East Side Torah Center existed here before Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was built, you could have gone in the back and, you know, brought karbanos in the back of the East Side Torah Center. It was called a Bama. So, could a Kohen who's an Orel do avoda by a Bama? So it depends. The Rambam writes that a Kohen, I'm sorry? Okay, halal, right, but we're talking about an Orel, right? An Orel, not a Chola, right? So it depends. The Rambam writes, why can't an Orel do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Because he's like a Zor. Because he's like a non-Kohen. Because after all, the Pasuk in Yechezkel equates him with a Necho, with a foreigner. A Zor can do Avoda and a Bama. But a Baal Mum can't do Avoda and a Bama. So says the Meshech Chachma, according to me, I have a Chumrah. I mean, it's not a Chumrah that really impacts on our lives all that much, right? But according to me, it comes out of Chumrah if an Orel is a Din Baal Mum and not a Din Zor. So not only can he not do avoda in the mikdash, he can't do avoda by a bama either, right? Now again, this is just a very fascinating example, not just for the tochen itself, but for the style, the methodology, the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma is right up learning halachas with nafkaminas from the psukim, right? It's a really astounding, very close up way of deriving halachas, which, you know, generally speaking, is not done. Usually there's more, you know, one learns from the Rishonim, from the Gemaras. Here's someone who lived 100 years ago, basically taking a pasuk with Rashi, and saying, oh, I have a halacha lemaisa, not so lemaisa, but quasi lemaisa, that would emerge from such an analysis. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, first of all, next week, just for next week, we'll be meeting, God willing, on Tuesday, being that there's a simcha in the neighborhood Wednesday night, so Be'ezus Hashem will meet same time on Tuesday, and then revert back the following weeks to Wednesday. Be'ezus Hashem. As I mentioned before, the Meshech Chachmas are available up at the front for purchase for $10 a piece. Special. It's $10, but for everyone here, it's a special. It's only $10. And my Rif Be'ezus Hashem will be downstairs at 10:10. Thank you all for coming, and I want you to have a good Shabbos.